Contemporary Music Centre podcast series. Composer of the Month for August 2008, Karen Power. In the second part of this podcast, Karen speaks to Michael Quinn about new Irish electroacoustic talent, creating unusual titles for works, audience expectations, and working with large ensembles versus electroacoustics.
It's an interesting time in Ireland for electroacoustic music and electroacoustic composers. Well, why do you think that is?
I suppose a very practical reason might be that the courses that were developed, you know, the offspring from those courses are now at a level where the music that's coming out is fantastic. I mean, the quality in this country is actually astounding. Was it last year at the CMC Marathon? I didn't get to go to it this year, and listening to what was being produced, you're just thinking, wow.
Do you think it's possible to talk of a generation of Irish composers, and do you feel a part of it if there is one?
I was hoping you wouldn't ask me that question. I do, from the sense that I'm very fortunate, and this generation is very fortunate. There is money there, and there is some hope of an existence as a composer, and as a female composer. And that wasn't there 20 years ago. Some people would say yes, but the amount of composers weren't there. You know, is it the chicken or the egg? But right now, the different types of composers, if one were to type them, the range is just, everybody's just doing what interests them. And what's coming out is music that's been the result of very open ears.
Well, there's a very strong hook, I think, in your music, to give people something to grab onto, and that's this kind of sense of humour that seems to be ingrained there. I mean, not just in the in titles like "Are You Sure You're Hearing What's Written," "Fried Rice, Curry Chip, and a Coke," and "Alsatian Net, My Dog." Am I hearing what's being written? Is the humour intended, and is it an essential part of what you're about or what you're trying to communicate?
Is the humour intended? It's always interesting to me that people find my music humorous.
Not only humorous.
No, I get that. Because one of the reasons for the piece titles is a very big thing for me, and always has been. Although the reasons have changed. In the beginning, it was part of the sort of the the Dutch school of thing, you know, break from tradition, break from this sort of the symphony orchestra, you know, the titles that mean something. But actually, as I came along, I found that because very few people wanted to listen to my music, I had to rely on friends a lot and family to go to concerts. And I kind of thought, you know, I should give them something to amuse them. So the piece titles were sort of, you know, yes, the music is serious music, but, you know, the titles aren't.
Pieces don't start with the titles.
No, very definitely not. And that's very important to me. I don't, as a listener, I don't like going into a concert or going into anything with a sense of expectation. That sounds very vague, but what I mean is, if you have a strong enough sense of expectation, you are already listening in a particular way. So your ears are already partially closed to something interesting. And to me, that's what it's all about, is having a reaction to something on a very basic level. It could be hate. It could just as likely be overwhelming, you know. But just having a reaction. And if you go in with a piece title in mind that tells you something about peace, then you're lessening your chance of hearing the extra bit. But I will say that my piece titles, they are humorous, but there is always something in there that means something to me. Whether it's that something that happened while the piece was being written, or something that has a little bit of me in it. And that's also important.
The pieces also sound to me to be very organic. Is a very lazy word, but they do seem to be pieces that have flesh and blood and bone within them. When you construct a piece, where does the audience, and do you try and guess what the audience will think about or how they'll react to the piece? Where does that the audience figure in the equation for you?
I try not to think of the audience. I find it too difficult. Recently, I suppose I've become more aware that there will be an audience. but I mean, what you have to remember is that up until recently, a lot of the stuff I was writing just wasn't being performed. So it was just done for me. And I mean, I don't think you can think about the audience, because how can you possibly think about 100 individuals, you know, and I suppose the only thing I think about is that I will get a reaction. Like, the worst thing you could possibly say to me, and I've said this from the very beginning, was at the end of a piece, was, "That was nice." Thank you.
audiences are clearly finding your music at the moment, and finding it in not just in Ireland, but in several places in Europe. And you've just returned from Italy, where you've had a piece for a trumpet and tape performed. You're just finishing a piece for the Ulster Orchestra, a piece on an entirely different scale altogether. How do you cope, or do you enjoy, or do you find it difficult moving between something as concentrated as a work for trumpet and tape and a work for something as large as a symphony orchestra?
I actually really enjoy it. I think it keeps what I do fresh, that's very important to me. So to be able to move between such extremes like that, it's like I don't know. It's like emptying the recycle bin on your computer. You know, it's like wash out, and then you just start again. But I mean, oftentimes I will. The thought process for one piece will be going on while another piece is being written, and I think that sort of goes back to the different way that I'm kind of writing now. In that, I can do that because if you're actually writing, then it takes a different part of you to realize ideas than it does to come up with them. So it actually seems to work quite well, and it means that I'm kind of constantly thinking music, which. I get off on, so.
Scale force like an orchestra, is that any less concentrated a process or an experience for you?
The process is completely different. The challenge I found with that was in maintaining I can't put a word on this, concentration is the wrong word, but because it takes so much time to actually, you know, write for such a large scale, all the instruments, it was quite difficult to maintain the passion or the original driving force for the piece, because it can sometimes get lost in the detail. So you're working on 4 bars for something like 2 hours just to notate them, and suddenly you're kind of, you know, you pull yourself back out of that and you try to look at the big piece again, and you're just, hang on a second. So it is a very, very different process. And then, of course, the physical act of parts and extracting parts, and, I'm not used to having to spend that amount of time when I've considered a piece to be finished, to then have to turn around and do all of that. So I think in future I will allow myself more time.
So it'll be a while before we see your opera.
Yes, might be a while. It might be an opera for one person.
Well, we'll look forward to that. Karen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Contemporary Music Centre Ireland. For more information, audio and video, go to www.cmc.ie or else our MySpace page, myspace.com/CMC Ireland.